Welcome back to the Roundtable. Hip-Rov is coming to the Colonial in Pittsfield, Massachusetts this weekend for the Yes, It's Real tour. What is Hip-Rov? I will explain. Created by improv and comedy legend Colin Mochrie of Whose Line Is It Anyway fame and co-star world-renowned hypnotist Asad. Is it Mechie or Mechie?
It's Mechie.
Mechie. Have that down right anyway. Asad Mechie, and you put all this together. You get a 90-minute or so live show, which combines hypnosis and improv, two art forms that have mystified and entertained fans, skeptics, and everyone in between worldwide. This is an amazing show that happens on Saturday night at the Colonial in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We welcome Colin Mochrie and Asad Mechie. Thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure to have you both on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right. So how did this, Asad, how did this begin, this idea?
Well, I reached out to Colin through his website, and his longtime manager, Jeff Andrews, got back in touch. In the email, I outlined the concept of marrying hypnosis and improv on stage. And it's really taken on a life of its own. We originally put the show up at the Second City in Toronto. Now we've toured the show 200 cities across North America and performed off-Broadway as well as in Las Vegas. So really excited to come and perform at Pittsfield coming up shortly.
So, Colin, you have done all forms of improv over the years, and this really is different in the sense that the people that you're working with are hypnotized.
Yeah, it's actually nice to work with improvisers who still have life in their eyes. it's different from, you know, when I work with the Whose Line guys or any of the improvisers I do work with. You know, even though we're all making things up, we're still working on a scene, heading towards a conclusion of some sort. I don't have that with these people because they don't have a future. They are truly just living in the now. So, you know, there's times where I'm, okay, time to wrap it up. We'll head off to this. And then they'll add something where it takes us into a whole different direction. So it makes it exciting.
So for you, Asad, what is the setup? Because you're doing like the first 20 minutes setting it up and getting everybody hypnotized and ready to go. So and I'll ask you a question about that process in just a second. But once you have it going, then you are then basically turning it over to Colin in the sense of deciding of what things are going to happen, and I assume some of that, you have no idea where you're going to go, right?
Yeah, so I call for volunteers. I don't pick on anybody. It's on a volunteer basis only, and people rush the stage. I hypnotize them, whittle it down to the best volunteers, and then Colin comes out and improvises with the people on stage while they're hypnotized. I'm throwing in twists and turns throughout. And you're quite right. We have no idea what we're going to get each night. We've never met any of these people before. We don't use plants, so we've not prearranged anything with anyone. It is truly a comedy high wire act.
So what are you looking for in a hip-revisor?
So I'm calibrating them. So I'm looking for physiological feedback because hypnosis is grounded in science. So I'm looking for changes in rate and location of respiration. So breathing changes, skin color changes, you know, light to dark, dark to light, skin tonus changes. There's a shininess and dullness to the skin, vasodilation, the capillaries in the eyes become engorged. So I'm looking for mask-like facial expression, slow, sluggish movement. So I'm looking for a checklist. If I see the reactions that I want, I'll keep them on stage. If I don't, then I'll ask them to leave the stage area. It's kind of like what poker players look for when they're trying to get a read on their opponent. It's the same sort of philosophy.
What do we know about people who are able to be hypnotized who check off all the boxes that you just described?
20% of the population are really good hypnotic subjects for a stage hypnosis show. The best subjects are the ones that are able to immerse themselves fully into experience, so much so that they're moved to an emotional response. So I'll give you an example. Two people watch a horror movie. One person jumps and screams in their chair when a scary moment happens in the movie. Another person just watches it critically and says stuff like, you know, I think the acting is poor here. The blood pack is obvious. I'm not really into it. I'm taking the person who jumps and screams in their chair. They're the person who's going to immerse themselves fully into the hypnosis on stage and have these incredible experiences on stage. It's really amazing to watch, and the audience is with us all the way through, from the beginning when people volunteer, watching them being hypnotized, and then from there, improvising with Colin.
So the odds are somewhat with you in the sense of that you will always find the 20 people that you need to do the show, even though the odds are 20% of the people are able to be hypnotized for a stage show.
That's right. That's why I bring up 20 volunteers, just because odds are we're going to get the correct subjects from a numbers perspective.
Okay.
Do the show.
So then bring in Colin. And how much do you want to know going into this, Colin? I mean, are you watching this and saying, okay, this person will perhaps provide this, provide that, or is it not until you meet them until they've been fully selected?
If you watch my career, you'll notice that I have no idea what's going on at any point. And this show really showcases that. I watched Asad do this. I'm going, I don't know how this is possible. Then when he, and that's it. And as I'm doing the scene, it's like you're juggling, you know, tennis balls, and then somebody throws in a bowling ball that's on fire. It's that sort of thing. It's exciting because I don't know these people. They add the most random, but it really does make it exciting. So, yeah, there's nothing. If there's one thing I've learned, it's to walk in with a blank slate and don't assume anything I think is going to happen will happen.
You know, one of the greatest things about the Whose Line show, both on television and in its live form, is when you bring people up. But obviously, they're aware of what they're doing. So when they're not aware of what they're doing, that adds an element to it. And I would think it's just like, nothing's off the table, really, right?
So I'm going to jump in there. So they're aware of what's their goal.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Colin.
Oh, yeah, they're actually aware of everything. It looks like they're asleep, but they're listening to everything. They'll reference a scene that happened three scenes ago that they weren't in. The only thing different is their inhibitions are gone. So they're just immediately reacting to everything Asad and I say. Anything that pops into their pointy little heads just comes out.
So that makes it better for what you're trying to do, I guess, is what I'm trying to ascertain.
Absolutely. It makes it freewheeling, truly improvised. I'm just as in the dark as to what's going to happen as the audience does, and that's what makes it exciting for me. I can't predict what they're going to do, so I really have to focus on them. I really have to listen to them. It's like working with an improv troupe that you're just popped in as a guest for.
And Asad, you said you throw things in as you go, and that adds to the fun, right?
Oh, absolutely. It can derail the experiment at any time. It can add to the crisis at the moment that's happening on stage. It can, at all times throughout this performance, we don't know what's going to happen next. And it keeps it fresh and it keeps it exciting for both of us. And we truly are improvising. We've now done the show again over 200 cities across North America and performed at Harrah's in Las Vegas and then in New York off Broadway. And every night's a different night with different guests. We don't know what's going to happen next. It is, again, a comedy high wire act.
Yeah. And the comedy comes, and I would think, Colin, I mean, one of the things about and you've been on before and talking about, you know, sort of the history of improv, but the games and the various things that you play that work that anyone who knows Whose Line or again your work knows that there are certain segments that are there, the things that lend themselves very well. So this is just something else to add, or are you able to employ some of those of those games or those ideas with these particular subjects?
Yeah, the games we play with them, they have to be explained in one sentence. You can't go, okay, in this next scene, every second S will be replaced with an F, and then you have to rhyme. That's where we kind of lose them. But we go, okay, in this scene, you're in love with Colin, and you want him to propose to you. So everything is fairly simple. We do games. I don't think we do any games that you may have seen on Whose Line. At one point, we improvise a song, which is always fun. The other night, Assad decided, for whatever reasons, go, hey, let's make this an opera, which is, I never wanted to punch a person more, I have to say.
You know, but yeah, the audience loves it. They love the opera.
Oh, the audience loves it because they see, obviously, I'm not comfortable with singing, but, you know, I have to do it because you're supposed to say yes to everything. And we, you know, in a way, we're still scratching the surface as to what we can do with them. We do a radio play with them where one does all the sound effects that we need in the scene, and then one plays all the different characters that I meet in the solving of the mystery. So, yeah, we're still coming up with new stuff, seeing what we can do.
When you talk about scratching the surface, and I asked you both this question, but I would think, Assad, that's what makes it so fun, is that you know that it's got a long life in the sense of there's a lot more you can explore.
Truly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, go ahead, Cole.
Oh, we're so Canadian. Yeah, we're constantly, we've tried some games that we go out there with, you know, high optimism, and it doesn't quite work out. But sometimes those go, you know, why that didn't work, because we put too much on them, or we didn't put enough on them. And so we've kind of, there have been times we've actually workshopped games during the show. So, yeah, as I said, we're still finding out things we can do with them. And so far, so good.
Well, give us an example, Assad, of work a game that you would workshop during the show.
One is a favorite of mine, and I know it's a favorite of Colin's, is identical twins, where one of the volunteers is an identical twin of Colin, and yet they don't know that they have an identical twin until they actually see Colin's face. And when they see Colin's face, they see a reflection of themselves. And let me tell you, I find it particularly hilarious to watch Colin figure out how to make it funny. It is a weird, weird bit.
Now, are the people...
I'm just afraid it traumatizes them.
Well, that I was going to ask you. Not that it was going to traumatize them, but are they ever, for want of a better term, disappointed?
Hey! No, we're quite happy, actually.
Yeah, that's
now that
good.
I think honest. Yeah, yeah.
I only asked the question because he said that you get their very honest reaction.
Oh yeah, what I have found out is that even if you're hypnotized, you can still make bald jokes.
Oh, is that, that's good to know.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great.
Part of our psyche I wasn't aware of. That's fascinating. You know, you made a joke earlier, Colin, about your career and just having no idea. But it's a fascinating thing to be known for, right? I mean, it's an art form. And you've associated yourself with amazing people that you've worked with over the years. But it really is an art to be able to do it, pull it off, and to entertain an audience for 2 hours.
I mean, I've been incredibly lucky that I'm doing something that wasn't a job when I was growing up. And it was all due to this British show that sort of showcased the one thing I can do well. So I've been incredibly lucky. It's gotten me all around the world and been able to work with incredible people. So, yeah, luckiest guy in the world.
And does it work? And it does work around the globe, and in the sense of that is universal.
Oh yeah, I did. I improvised with a Norwegian company in Oslo, and I did one scene in Norwegian, which I don't speak. They gave me two lines, and to this day, I still have no idea what I said. But the audience loved it, and I truly have no idea what it was about. In my mind, I was a miner having to dig my own mine. I have no idea what the other improvisers were doing, but it somehow worked.
Yeah, it's the audience. I mean, some of it is it's hilarious. It's so in the moment. And I think it's exciting because nobody seems to know what's going to happen at any second, which that's very cool.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons Whose Line sort of became popular. It was at a time where sitcoms were getting a little tired in a way.
Yeah.
You know, there was sort of almost a mathematical formula to blah, 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 punchline. And Whose Line didn't have that because nobody knew what a punchline was and nobody knew what the setup was.
And you're okay being a Canadian and working in the United States, and we're okay. we're okay as an audience with you being Canadian. That's all worked itself out.
So far, so good. And you know, this show is not by any stretch of the imagination political.
But you're a global ambassador now.
Exactly. I'm trying to bring peace to the world. It's a little harder than I thought it would be.
But it helps.
I could do it in one day.
How could anyone not like you?
Oh, you'd be surprised. Or maybe not.
Azad, what is it like working with someone who's been doing this for so long? And you're in different forms. You're doing different things.
Oh, it's amazing. I get a front row seat to the best comedy in the world every single night. It's a masterclass in comedy watching him perform.
And the audience, obviously they're the people on stage, and they have a completely different experience, right? I mean, obviously they're part of it, but they're also working for the night.
They're not really aware of what's going on from a scene perspective at times. They kind of, the audience drops away and they get fully immersed in the moment. So they're really kind of in the scene with Colin and are so completely engrossed in that scene that they really have no awareness of an audience on them. They're just in the moment. They truly are in the moment. And that's the amazing part about the show, is that the part of the brain that deals with self-reflection becomes disconnected when somebody's hypnotized. Yeah. They no longer reflect on their behavior. First-time improvisers, they'll play to the crowd. They'll look nervous. They'll hesitate. They'll use filler words. These people just are fully immersed in the scene. It makes for really great improv.
Has it ever happened that you get somebody, they've gone through all the checks, and then suddenly when you're in, you realize, oh, I don't know if they're working out. Then do they get dismissed?
It rarely happens. It's happened maybe a handful of times in hip-hop. Again, none of this is rehearsed, right? We don't know what we're going to get. Every single night is a comedy high-wire act. So there's going to be room for errors from me as the hypnotist, room for errors with Colin as the improviser, room for errors with the people who are on stage. It truly is one night and one night only. The people who go in and see that show will never, ever occur again. It will never happen again. So go in. Get away from all your problems. Immerse yourself fully in the show, and you will be taken for a wild ride. It is fully immersive, not only for the people on stage, but also for the people who are watching the show. I always can figure out who on stage is connected to somebody in the audience, because they're the ones who are crying with laughter because they know the person on stage.
Well, Hip-Rov is coming to the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield, Massachusetts on Saturday night, and you can find out more information by going to hiprov.com. That's H-Y-P-R-O-V. The two men who put the hip in Hip-Prov. Colin Mockery and Asad Meki are our guests this morning. And gentlemen, I thank you very much for being with us. I hope you have a beautiful time in the Berkshires and bringing this very fun show to us. And travel safe and be well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Again, it's Colin Mockery and Asad Meki, and they're going to be doing Hip-Prov at the Colonial in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. You can find out more by going to hip-prov.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.